Father, we get a new sugya. We've been talking the last several weeks about different aspects of Talmud Torah. So now we begin to discuss. I guess one could have thought that this meant a shiur, but Talmud Torah means a shiur about Talmud Torah. That's not what it means. A shiur of Talmud Torah means the shiur of Talmud Torah. How much do you have to learn in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? So we know that when we speak about mitzvahs, many mitzvahs have shiurim to them. Let's say the marshal mitzvah achilas matzah. So you have to eat a kazayis. Eat less than a kazayis, and not yotzei. Maybe there's mitzvah to eat more than a kazayis also, but the fulfillment of the mitzvah is determined by a kazayis. So many mitzvahs have a shiur to them. The question is there a shiur, so to speak, to Talmud Torah? Notwithstanding what it says in the Mishnah, Eil B'Mishnah, Eil B'Mishnah, Shiur, try to figure out, as the shiur goes on, what exactly that statement means. So a sugya begins in Maseches Kedushin, where we left off. In Kedushin, Daf Lamed, Amud Aleph, going to Amud Beis. We're not going to learn the entire piece, but just the first one or two lines. Tanu Rabbanan, Vishinantam, Shehu Divrei Torah Mechudadim Beficha. So the Gemara has a comment on the pasuk Vishinantam Vanecha. So Vishinantam not only means to teach, to transmit to others, but Vishinantam is a lashon of shinun in the sense of sharp. Something should be very, very sharp. The Divrei Torah should be right on the tip of your tongue. Shem Yishalecha Adam Davar. If somebody asks you a question, so you shouldn't fumf around. You're not really sure. You have to look it up. No, everything should be right in front of you. The Gemara quotes a series of other pesukim from Nach that seem to support this idea that a person's level of yedias haTorah is supposed to be such that he's really, really an expert in all areas of the Torah. That seems to be the degree of how much a person has to learn. So if we take this Gemara Kipshuto, so it sounds like there's not that much we can all about it at the 6:30 minutes. There's nothing to talk about. It means if a person has to reach a level of, in a sense, knowing Kol Tarkula, how can we begin to discuss this Shir and Talmud Torah? That's the Shir. When a person reaches that point, when he has all the return, then he can go on vacation until that point. So then he has to keep on learning. That's the simple reading of this Gemara. So notwithstanding what it says in this Gemara, we're going to come back to this Gemara a little bit later on, what exactly this Gemara is or is not saying, there is a sugya in the second of the Mermakamas that does begin to discuss about a very real shear in terms of how much Limud HaTorah is necessary to fulfill the mitzvah properly. So the sugya begins at one of the strangest places. It's a Mishnah in Maseches Menachos and Daf Tzadi Tesem Beis. But the Mishnah is talking about the halachas that govern the lechem haponim on the shulchan. You know, the Torah tells us that one of the kelim on the base of Mikdash was the shulchan, and there's a mitzvah of lechem haponim. You have to put on the new bread, and you have to bread on the shulchan at all times. Nasat al shulchan lechem tamid lefanai tamid, lechem panim lefanai tamid. It has to be the lechem haponim, it has to be tamid, it has to always be on the shulchan. Torah says later on in Parshas Emor that they would switch the bread every Shabbos, Yom Shabbos, Yom Shabbos, Yerchenu, etc. That's when they would switch over the new bread. When we say bread, we're using the word lechem in almost in a Torah sense. It wasn't actually lechem; it was actually matzah. It actually couldn't be what we call bread because it would be chametz, and the lechem upon him had the status of a mincha, and a mincha cannot be brought from chametz. So it was lechem upon him, it was closer to a matzah than it was to bread. So the Mishnah deals with a very logistical problem, a tactical problem, concerning the proper fulfillment of the mitzvah of lechem aponim. The Torah says, tamid, it has to be, the lechem aponim has to be on the shulchan at all times. But the same pasuk says, b'yom Shabbos, b'yom Shabbos, you take it off on Shabbos, you put a new one on Shabbos. So obviously if I take it off on Shabbos and I put a new one on, there's going to be a split second without a lechem aponim there. So what happened to the words tamid? So that's the dilemma that the Mishnah has. So the Mishnah has a very, very, very complicated way of figuring this out. So if you take a look at the second of the Mermon Kamos, so the fourth line, the end of the fourth line of the Mar Machom, Eilu Moshchin veElu Manichin veTavcha Shozeh keNegat Tavcha Shozeh Shneim Alafanai Tamid. So the Rabbanan in the Mishnah say that the only way to remove the lechem upon him and put on a new lechem upon him and not be in violation of the din of Tamid is that you have to have four Kohanim there. So two Kohanim are pulling off the old lechem, two new Kohanim are putting on the new lechem. And as I'm pulling away the old one, you're putting the new one. Tivcho shazek, it's a tivcho shazek. Literally, one is not much touching the other. So as I'm pulling off, you're pushing on. It turns out there's never even a split second that the shulchan is empty of lechem. That's the view of the Rabban. So the Mishnah continues, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi says, nah, afilu elu notlim elu manichin afi yaisa tamid. Rabbi Yossi says, you don't have to be so careful every split second that there's lechem upon him there. Even if the first group of Kohanim remove the lechem upon him, and the next group come 10 minutes later and put on the new lechem upon him, that's also not a violation of the din of tamid. Why exactly is that? It sounds like the Rabbanan are correct. So the Gemara explains, we'll go down to the second paragraph in that Marim Makom. So Tanya Rabbi Yossi Omer, Afilu Silikus Ayashan Shachris, Vesidus Achadosh Arvis, Emekachlum. So Rabbi Yossi says, even if you remove the old bread in the morning and you set up the new bread in the evening, that's okay. Lamani Mekayim Lefanai Tamid. So what does the word Tamid mean? Shlo yolin shulchan b'lo lechem. That you shouldn't go a whole night without lechem on the table. So as long as an evening hasn't passed that the shulchan is empty, you haven't violated the din of tamid. So like is there a banner of Yossi? Taich. What's shot of the word tamid? Does tamid mean mamash every second? Or does tamid mean as long as a significant break, a whole unit of time of the evening hasn't gone by, it's still considered to be a fulfillment of the din of tamid? One would wonder what the world has to do with the mitzvah of Tamid Torah. So comes the Gemara and makes the bridge. I wouldn't have made such a jump, but the Gemara did. So the Gemara continues, again, in that second paragraph, in the second line of the second paragraph, Am Rabbi Ami. Midvarov shel Rabbi Yossi nilmad. From the words of Rabbi Yossi, we could derive the following halacha. Afilu lo shana adam el perk echad shachris, perk echad arvis, kiyei mitzvahs lo yomer sefer Torah zebi picha. Rabbi Ami says that this machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan is not just a localized, limited machlokes to hilchos lechem upon him, but rather it's a global question. How do you view the principle of tamid, this term of tamid, which comes up in other areas of halacha? How do you define tamid? Are you such a stickler for the details of tamid? Tamid means mamish every split second, and if 1 second the bread's off the table, that's ois tamid. But they say, no, tamid just means almost an ongoing thing. As long as you don't have a significant break, that's also considered to be tamid. So Rabbi Ami said that machlokes, Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan, can spill over to another mitzvah, the mitzvah we're discussing, the mitzvah of Limud HaTorah. The mitzvah of Limud HaTorah so is described in the Navi Yehoshua as Lo Yomer Sefer Torah Zabi Picha. Lo Yomer Sefer Torah Zabi Picha, that's like saying tamid. It means you're never allowed to stop learning. Lo Yomer Sefer Torah Zabi Picha. So what exactly does that mean? Does the pasuk mean literally? You can't go a split second without having to return b'fiv. So that would seem to be the view of the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan who say that the shulchan can't go 1 split second without lechem. So l'shitasam, they would say you can't go 1 second without learning. And Rabbi Yossi was very, very lenient. Rabbi Yossi said, nah. Yomish doesn't mean, I'm sorry, Tamid doesn't mean literally every second. Tamid just means as long as the whole unit hasn't gone by, the whole evening hasn't gone by, that's still considered to be Tamid. So he would presumably accept the same idea when it comes to the mitzvah of Tamid Torah as well. The Yomish is Lavdavka. As long as a whole unit of time hasn't passed, that's also considered to be Lo Yomish Sefer Torah Zemi Picha. So the Rabbi Ami makes that jump between the Machlekes and Tanoim vis-a-vis the Lechem upon him. This spills over to how you understand Shabbos Pasuk in Yeshua of Lo Yomer Sefer Torah Zemi Picha. Why are we discussing the Pasuk in Yeshua? I mean, usually when we talk about a mitzvah in the Torah, so we try to look for Pesukim in Chumash. So the truth is that there are a lot of Pesukim in Chumash that do talk about the mitzvah of Tamid Torah. We saw a little bit about in the past. Vishnav Levanecha, Lomadetem Osam Ushmanetem Otsosam, Lomadetem Osam Benechem, Lomadetem Osam Beficha, Himbechokosai Telechu, Ushmanetem Zomish. I mean, yeah, you have a half dozen, more than a half dozen Pesukim that refer to the mitzvah of Tamid Torah, but yet almost the details of the mitzvah of Tamid Torah are fleshed out in the Navi Yeshua. So Mishtama, we apply like we apply in other cases, but we find halachas that are quoted in Navi. So the Pesukim in Navi are not teaching us new halachas. The Pesukim in Navi are explaining to us what already the pre-existing din in Torah is a mitzvah of Tamid Torah, and we're trying to figure out, the Pesukim in Navi are just trying to be megala to us, what was the tradition? What was the proper understanding of the mitzvah of Tamid Torah? So the Navi Yeshua, Rav Shalom speaks to Yeshua and says, Lo Yomer Sefer Torah Zevi Picha. So the Navi is megal to us, oh, this is how to fulfill the mitzvah of Tamid Torah. It's just we're not sure what the Navi is telling us. Is the Navi telling us every second? Or is the Navi telling us as long as you don't have a big break, that's also good enough? So depending on what you hold about the Machlekes of Yossi and the Rabban about Lechem Upon, about Tamid, that's going to spill over to the mitzvah of Tamid Torah as well. Now the Gemara continues in the third line of that paragraph. Amr b'yechem shem b'shem ben yochai. Afilu lo kara adam ala kriyash mashachos v'yarvis, kiem lo yamush. So Rabbi Yochanan tells us in Eber B'shem Yochai that according to this idea, that a person doesn't have to learn every single second, but as long as a long time is not going by without learning, so then even if a person said Shema in the morning and Shema at night, he fulfilled the mitzvah of Lo Yamush. Because Rabbi B'shem Yochai is assuming the view of Rabbi Yaisi, that it's not necessary to learn every second. You can't have a long time going by. What is a long time? What is a unit of time going by? So the Navi says, Yom V'Laila. So presumably, as long as you learn a little bit in the morning, a little bit at night, so you didn't violate, you did have Lo Yamush. So Rabbi B'shem Yochai now has a Kula Gabi Kula. Rabbi B'shem Yochai says that not only do we follow Rabbi Yaisi, presumably, that you can just learn a little bit in the morning, a little bit at night, but that learning doesn't have to be what we call a formal learning. If you said Shema, it's also learning. So since it doesn't say how much you have to learn, so you have to learn a little bit in the morning, a little bit at night, and saying Shema would qualify as that as well. So this is really a kula, agave kula.
Does everyone agree that how to interpret the according to Rabbi Yossi what parak is? What he means by parak echad? Shachar barbas?
I'm not sure what parak means, literally like parak mishnah, it's parak gemar. I think it just means a chap, it means a quote unquote, means a portion of Torah.
I would have thought the perfect example would be Korban Tamid, twice a day.
Doesn't
mean all day long.
Okay, very good, excellent. Okay, so the truth is that the word Tamid is a very, very tricky phrase, because the word Tamid does mean different things in different places. Sometimes Tamid means, in a sense, once in a while, continuous. And sometimes, also, Ner Tamid is a tricky one. Ner Tamid is actually, like you said, Rishon, about the lights of the menorah. Was there a din of Ner Tamid literally every second? So the Ramban holds that way. The Ramban says that there was a mitzvah that at least one of the candles in the menorah had to be lit all the time, we call it, quote-unquote, Ner Tamid. Rashi and Chumash writes that Tamid there means that means by Korban Tamid, he actually brings a rye from Korban Tamid. Rashi says Tamid by the Korban Tamid means... it means every day. It means once in the morning, once at night, that's also considered to be Tamid. So even the word Tamid means different things. The Gemara has a discussion about the tzitz. It says that the Kohen wore the tzitz Tamid. Every second he wore the tzitz. The Gemara says he had to go to the bathroom sometimes, he had to eat sometimes, so he didn't wear it all the time. So even the word Tamid is a tricky, tricky term. It means different things in different places. So here it's strange. Here the Gemara somehow figured out that, well, whatever it means by lechem aparim, that's what really matters. What it means by menorah, somehow the Gemara doesn't address. What it means by carbon tamid, the Gemara doesn't talk about. So the Gemara doesn't talk about any other tamids. The only tamid the Gemara focuses it on is the tamid of the shulchan. Why that should be so, that I don't know. So again, so we have a double question here. We have a machlekes Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan. It started out in Hilchos Lechem Aparim, which now moves over to Hilchos Tamid Torah. And then we have Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's extension, that if you follow the lenient view of Rabbi Yossi, that even Kriyash Bashachas Yarvis would be acceptable. So then the Gemara continues. V'dover zeh, asal amu b'fnei ame ha'aretz. So the Gemara says that you shouldn't tell people this. That you shouldn't tell the Amaratzim this, for obvious reasons. If you're going to tell the Amaratzim that they could just fulfill with Kriyash Bashachas Yarvis, no one's going to come to the Shurim anymore. So therefore, even though it's true, it's like the category of Halacha V'yad Merin Kei. The Gemara says that there are certain things that are true. There's no great mitzvah to tell everybody everything. Sometimes if a little bit of knowledge, sometimes it's not so good. So if a person knows this piece of information that he doesn't have to learn more than saying Kriyashma, so then it's going to lead to not such good things. So it's better not to say it. For Rava Amar, Rava says no. Mitzvah Amar V'nei Ami Aretz. Rava says, Faker, we should publicize this. We should tell everybody that they can be Yotzi with Kriyash Mashach Mitzvah. What's the great mitzvah? So one could argue, maybe Rava meant that way at least they'll say Kriyashma. It means they're not going to come learn anyway, so they might as well say, get them to Machman and Kriyash. That's what I would have said. So Rashi quotes, an interesting shot. Rashi quotes that no, you should tell everybody that you don't really have to learn. You just have to say Kriyash Mashach. That's also okay. Why is that? Because then the Amaratz are going to say, wait a second, I don't understand. The rabbi is sitting and learning 16 hours a day. The rabbanim is sitting and learning all day. The tamid chacham is sitting and learning all day. And they know that they don't really have to, quote unquote, do it. Because the rabbi just told me that, oh, it's okay if you just say Shema. It must be the rabbi's onto something, says Rashi. It must be the rabbi chap that even though I can be yotzei my mitzvah, there must be some unbelievably great thing about this learning story. Because otherwise, he would never be spending his whole day doing it if it wasn't so special. So even though he's telling me I'm yotzei, there must be something greater to this. And then he's gonna get intrigued and he's gonna come and learn, and then he'll sit and learn 16 hours a day also. Halavai, maybe we should pull the stunt at everybody. So that's a Rashi Lish shot in Rava. Whatever it is. Whether we encourage people from saying it or discouraging people from saying it, but the bottom line is that at least according to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rabbi Yossi, so the din would be that a person technically would fulfill the mitzvah of Tamid Torah, either with Perek Echad or with at least Kriyashma. But then the Gemara continues, and it's not so simple, that this understanding of Lo Yamush seems to only be true according to Rabbi Yossi. That's how the Gemara started the sugya. According to Rabbi Yossi's understanding of Talmud, so he had this limited understanding of Lo Yamush as well. The implication is that the Rabbanon disagree, that the Rabbanon who hold that Talmud is dafka, Talmud every split second, they presumably dash in the pasuk Lo Yamush, referring to Talmud Torah in a similar manner. So that's what the Gemara calls the second view. So Shaul, the Gemara continues, in the second of the Ma'amar Kamis, the four lines to the bottom, Shaul ben Dama ben Achaisel shel Rabbi Yishmol as Rabbi Yishmol. So ben Dama was Rabbi Shmuel's nephew. He was Rabbi Shmuel's sister's son. So he asked Rabbi Shmuel the following. He goes, Ani shalamadati kol ha-tarakula. That's quite a statement. He was talking to his uncles, I guess. So he said, listen, I said, I'm telling you the emes. He said, what do you want? I'm telling you the emes is, he's asking you shayla. No, a person has to be an anav, an anav, an anav. You have to be an anav. But a nivas doesn't mean that a person doesn't understand where they're holding. It means they can't walk around flaunting what they're holding. They can't walk around telling the world how great they are. But if they have to pass a shayla about themselves, so they have to give a realistic assessment. It's like I think I've told over the story here about Rabbi Cheskel Avramsky. He was one of the gedolim before the war, and then he was in London. I think he escaped. I think before the war, if not mistaken, to London. So he was once called in in some kind of a court case, a goyish, a secular court case. He was called in to be some kind of an expert witness about the need of some information about halacha. So he's on the witness stand. So they're asking him, are you an expert in this area? So he says, yes, I'm an expert in this area. So they said, are you one of the, are you mamish like a world class expert? So he said, I know more about this than anybody else in the world, something like that. But he said, this particular topic, I'm the world class expert. So they asked him, some of the people asked him afterwards, Rabbi, they're kind of saying to him like, it's a strange thing that you said. So he said, well, what do you want? I was under oath. He said, I had to tell the emissary. The emissary says, I know more about this than anybody else. I don't walk around telling the world that, but in court, I say the truth. So Ben Dama asked Rabbi Shmuel, what am I supposed to do? I know already called Tarakula. Mal lumar chachmas yavanis. Am I permitted to go and learn, literally translated, Greek wisdom, whatever the application or the ramifications of this are? Hopefully we'll talk about it as the sugya opens up a little bit more. But he wanted to know, can I go learn other things? Because in effect, I'm part of from Talmud Torah. So it's interesting that Ben Dama didn't even dare and ask the question before he was able to preface it by saying, Ani lamadi kol tarakula. It's very clear from the Gemara that it wasn't even on the radar screen to ask such a question until he had finished kol tarakula. But he had already finished kol tarakula, and now he wants to know, can I go learn Chachmas Yavanis? So Karlov HaMikra Zeh, so Rabbi Shmuel said to his nephew the following pasuk, Lo yomosh sefer HaTorah zemipicha, v'kisa b'yom v'layla. The pasuk in Yeshua says, you have to learn Torah yom v'layla, and Rabbi Shmuel is clearly interpreting the pasuk like the Rabbanon, that you have to learn mamish kipshuto, yom v'layla. So he told him as follows, Tseyuv dog shah she'ein alomina yom v'lomina layla. Go find the time that's not yom and that's not layla. Ulamod b'chok was Yavanis. Then he answered with a chuckle to his nephew. Yes, the question was asked with a little bit of a smile. So the answer with a little bit of a smile says, go find a time that's lo yom v'lo layla and you can go learn all the chok was Yavanis you want. So we say that those who hold us are very, very long ben hashpashas, ben chassidim, long ben hashpashas, maybe you have a long time to learn, it's only a joke. Ben hashpashas is not lo yom v'layla, it's a suffix yom, a suffix layla. But get back to the story. So you see from Rabbi Yishmael that Rabbi Yishmael understood the pasuk, not like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, not like Rabbi Yossi, because even though he was answering with a little bit of a humor, but he's quoting a halachic pasuk, he's quoting a halachic context, he's, according to Rabbi Yossi, it sounds like the answer would be not so terrible. You want to go learn it. You want, as long as you learn your Perek Yachim in the morning, your Kriyashma in the morning. So good day, go do whatever you want. That's what it sounds like from the Gemara in the rest of the afternoon, because the Gemara is quoting the story of Rabbi Shmuel directly following the previous statement of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So it sounds like we have Machloikis HaTanoim now, Lamaisa between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. What is the shear of Talmud Torah, which is not an independent machlekes? It's just it's a continuation of the old machlekes of Yosi and the Rabbanon. What is the shear of Talmud? What's the word Talmud mean? Whatever it means by the lechem apanim, that's what it means here as well. And then the Gemara quotes a third possibility. Two lines at the bottom. Upligid Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeini. This whole discussion, particularly Rabbi Shmuel's application of this pasuk, disagrees with Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeini. The Yom Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeini, Am Rabbi Yainison. Pasuk zeh eino lo chayvav lo mitzvah la bracha. Says, what are you spending so much time focusing on the pasuk lo yomosh as being the source of the shiur of Talmud Torah? Rabbi Shmuel ben Chmeini said, and Rabbi Yehoni said, this pasuk is not Petaris Chayva, it's not Petaris Mitzvah, which is what we kind of thought at the beginning anyway, because we were already, you know, bothered by the fact that this pasuk is not even Chumash, it's a pasuk in Navi. So Rabbi Yehoni says, you're right, this pasuk is not Petaris Chayva, you can't quote this as a mako for a shir in Halacha. It's good for a drash, good for Sichas Moser, but it's nothing to do with Halacha. Ela Bracha, what was the Bracha? Rakadish Baruch is Yeshua, Shadivitara Chaviv and Alav, the Yaiser. He saw that Divrei Torah was so beloved to Yeshua ben Nun. Shenema Misharso Yeshua ben Nun Na Leimish B'Toch Awal. As the pasuk says back in Pashkei Sisa, that Yeshua didn't leave Moshe Rabbeinu. Amalo Hakadosh Baruch Hu Yeshua Kolka Chavivin Alecha Divrei Torah LeYomer Sefer Torah Zemipicha. It was a bracha that Hakadosh Baruch Hu gave Yeshua. You're going to see, even though you're busy, you're becoming the leader of Klai. So the psukim of the beginning of Sefer Yeshua. Moshe just died. Yeshua is about to embark upon a career as the Banei Gador. He's going to have to start fighting wars and conquering Yerichos and Ais and military strategies. Have to deal with all of Klal Yisrael. So I imagine he was probably a little bit concerned. He's entering the Rabbanus. He's not going to have too much time to learn. So Moshe said, don't worry about it. You'll find time to learn. I'll give you a special atzlocha. But this pasuk, according to Rabbi Yenison, is not a halachic pasuk altogether. We cannot derive any halachas about the Shi'ah of Talmud Torah. So we have really three different ways of understanding this pasuk. Two of them are looking at this pasuk through the eyes of halacha. One of them is looking at it through the eyes of bracha. So within those tanoim who assume that's b'taras halacha, then we have a further breakdown between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon Yochai as to what exactly is the pasuk saying. Is the pasuk saying you have to learn all the time? Or is the pasuk saying every once in a while, every morning, every night, that's also good enough? So how do we paskin the halacha d'shayla? So l'chora, the answer should be, well, it's not really a machlekes nuchas tam Torah. It's really a machlekes nuchas lechem upon him. So depending on how we paskin nuchas lechem upon him, that's we should paskin for this as well. So if we take a look at the Rambam in the third of the Mamakamos, in Perek Aleph Alachaches, so Kol Ishme Yisrael chayav b'tam Torah. Every man in Klal Yisrael is chayav b'tam Torah. Ben Ani, Ben Oshir, whether he's poor, whether he's rich, Ben Shalom Begufa, Ben Bal Yisurin, whether he's healthy or whether he's suffering, Ben Bochor, whether he's younger, Ben Shehazach and Gadol, Shetashish Kocho, even if he's an older man, he doesn't have any Kechas and no strength anymore, Afilo Haya Ani HaMispinus Met Tzedakah, even if he's a person who's collecting Tzedakah, Mechazel HaPsochim, he's never collecting door to door, Mamash, a very, very difficult situation. He's chayv in Talmud Torah. Every single Jew is chayv in Talmud Torah. So it's interesting, the Rambam is almost going like a hierarchy. The Rambam saying, everyone's chayv, everyone's chayv, everyone's chayv, and then he gives you the very last everyone. So those who are in this stage of life will appreciate this last couple of words. V'afilu bal isha ubanim. Even the greatest chiddush, he told you that the guy who's never sick in bed is chayv in Talmud Torah. The old man who can't move anymore is chayv in Talmud Torah. The person who doesn't have a penny to his name is chayv in Talmud Torah. And the biggest chiddush of all is afilu bal isha ubanim. So you get the impression around, the Rambam understood ganz good that the Baal Isha Banim is kenegad kulam. He's going to take up more distractions than all the above put together. So Baruch Hashem in a good way, good, healthy, happy way, but Afal Bichein is Yadua, takes a lot of time. So Afal Bichein, Chayev L'Gbol Lo Zman L'Talmud Torah. Nevertheless, no matter who you are, you have to set aside time for Talmud Torah. Bayom V'Laila, both in the day and at night. Shenema V'Yagisa Bayom V'Laila. As the Pasuk in Yeshua says, V'Yagisa Bayom V'Laila. So which way is the Rambam paskening on this three-way machlokes? So obviously he is rejecting the third view. He's rejecting the view of Rabbi Shmuel ben Chmeini and Rabbi Yenison that there's no halachic significance in this pasuk. The Rambam is quoting this in Ilchos Talmud Torah. He's not quoting it in the Musa Sefer. He's quoting in Ilchos Talmud Torah. So the Rambam is obviously paskening that there is some halacha that is derived from this pasuk. But which version of the halacha is the Rambam deciding? So the Rambam is paskening like the Mekilim, like Rosh Hashanah Yochai. Because the Rambam doesn't say chayav luma Torah every single split second of the day. It's chayav l'gvolos ma'am l'tama Torah b'yom v'alayla. And he's chayav to learn b'yom v'alayla. It means a little bit in the morning, a little bit at night. That's the fulfillment of Perek Echad Shachas, Perek Echad Arvis, Shnei Vagis b'yom v'alayla. So the Rambam is clearly paskening that there is a halachic significance to this pasuk. And he's quoting the lenient version, the kuldika version of what that halachic significance is. However, even when the Rambam quotes this, the Rambam almost doesn't finish the job. The Rambam is quoting the cooler version, but the Rambam didn't really quote the cooler version because Rabbi Shmuel Bechai said the real Kula version, you don't even need Perek Echad, Shachos Yarvis. Even Kriyash Shachos Yarvis is good enough. So the Rambam is difficult. If the Rambam is already willing to quote the Mekilim, why doesn't he go the whole distance? Why doesn't he quote the Kula version of the Mekilim, which is what the Gemara really concludes is true? Why doesn't the Rambam say, Afili Shabonim, don't worry about it, Chayav, Loma Kriyash every morning, every night, and I'll say, Nam Avagisayon Valavis. And the Rambam almost stops one step short of following the Kula version to its conclusion. But there's something else difficult about the Rambam, because as we said before, that this din of Rabbi Shimon Bechoy, Rabbi Ami, the Bekilim, seems to, from the Gemara, only to be as true as Rabbi Yossi is. If Rabbi Yossi is true that you don't need Tamid by the Lech Maponim, then the corollary is you don't need Tamid by quote unquote by Tamid Torah also. But the problem is the Ram happens not to pask in that way. Look at the Lech Maponim. The Ram Shita is like the Rabbanon about Lech Maponim. He paskins that the Shulchan cannot be empty of Lechem even for one split second. So how can the Ram turn around and paskin like the Rabbanon Hilchos Lechem upon him, and then turn around and follow, in a sense, Rabbi Yossi's application to Talmud Torah? The Rambam's taking Hilchos Lechem upon him in one category, Talmud Torah in the other. The whole thrust of the Gemara Menachos that we learned together was that the two sugyas are totally zebizeh. So we have a few difficulties about the Rambam. So we know the Rambam paskin that there's a halacha v'agisa yom v'layim. We know it's not just a bracha b'yama, but and we can understand which way the Rambam is paskining, but we don't understand it in light of what he says, l'gabed lechem upon him. And even a niach that he's paskining the kula, we're not quite sure why he doesn't go all the way in the kula, even including kriyashma. But then the question that really permeates, almost in a sense, the entire sugya, is that we don't understand what in the world the Tanaim are talking about. The Tanaim seem to be saying that, and we may even paskin this way, it's okay, a little bit in the morning, a little bit at night, and don't worry about it, you're great, you're a great Jew, you fulfilled the Talmud Torah, nothing to worry about. What happened to the first of the Rambam Kumas? Didn't the Gemara start by saying that you have to learn to the point that if somebody asks you a question, you know, kol tarkula, aren't there Mamar Chazal galore, Mishnayis galore that talk about Asay Taras Chakeva, Lo Alecham Lachav Lata Ben Chor Livalit, Kol Osi B'Talmud Torah. If you have thousands and thousands of Mamar Chazal, V'Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, speaking about the lofty goals of Talmud Torah, and all of a sudden here, the Gemara is saying, Kriyashma, one pasuk in the morning, one pasuk in the afternoon, and in the evening, and you're home free. What happened exactly? How does that, this machlokes and Maseches Menachos fit in to the grandiose picture of Hilchos Talmud Torah, the whole picture of Talmud Torah that we know from Kama V'Kama V'Kama Mar Chazal throughout the Shastra, Mishnah, three quarters of Pirkei Avos is dedicated to the lofty goals of Talmud Torah, and yet all of a sudden the Tanaim are talking about, well, we don't really have to do that, that's just Kriyash Mashachos V'Yarvis. What are we missing in the sugyas? We have a lot of kashas on the sugyas. We have a kashas, how the Ram paskin what he did in light of Lechem upon him, how come the Ram didn't paskin the biggest kula, and the more basic question, the fundamental, seems to be a fundamental misunderstanding of the sugya, the Gemara really meant that. That's all you have to do. What happened to everything else in terms of Talmud Torah? Tomorrow, we'll try to solve some of these riddles in this basic fundamental sugya.